Good evening, everyone. This is Evident Footprints. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. We had a little bit of a technical glitch, which sometimes happens the first show with the new network. Anyway, I'm very pleased to be here and hope to have a long run with BBS Radio. And I'm glad you could make it. I know people all over the country listening to me and as far away as Europe, Australia, and parts beyond that. I've gotten a lot of emails from people who are very excited that I've made this move to a new network, and I'm happy. I've been listening to the shows the past few weeks, actually, before making the decision to come here, and I have to say that there's some very, very awakened people calling in to the shows, as well as those who are hosting the shows. Excellent teaching, just an overwhelming amount of wisdom, spiritual truth, and light coming through my speakers or my headphones, depending on what time of day I'm listening. So I'm going to spend today's show in the beginning talking about myself a little bit, because who is Don Nikoloff and why does he call his show Evident Footprints? Well, I'll tell you some things about myself and maybe even treat you to a little music because I am a musician. I was born in Ohio 56 years ago today, believe it or not. Today is my birthday. So this is really a good sign for me. I am actually starting the 9th 7-year cycle of my life, and anyone that knows the meaning of numbers knows that we go through stages every 7 years, and you see this in children, and you see it in adults too. We go through stages where we change the focus of our importance or the things that mean the most to us, and I am definitely on a spiritual journey. I have been for many years, really most of my life, although I wasn't always able to express it. And I'm sure those of you out there that know what I'm talking about have experienced the same thing in dealing with everyday life and going to school and doing a job and maybe being in the military or starting a family, raising the family, and you have a lot of questions, and you see things changing around you, and you wonder why. So I've devoted my life, besides creating music, I've devoted it to searching for the truth. And with that comes a lot of knowledge about all the evil and all the darkness there is in the world, and we must be able to confront it. And I've heard some recent teaching, even this evening, which is really on point, talking about the difference between how the world is and how it's going to be in the near future. For some people, it's already that way. For myself, in many ways it is, and yet I've come to realize over the years and more recently that part of my purpose in life is to lift up others, to awaken others to the new realities. Now, not all of us are cut out for that. Not all of us want to do that kind of work, even when we find out that we are cut out for it. And then we meet a lot of people that don't want to change. We're taught in our schools and through society and often through our government that change is not a good thing. And if we do make change, it's always presented to us in a very attractive way to make us think that what change there is for everyone's benefit. And usually it results in a loss of freedom or a loss in your personal sovereignty or a loss in our collective sovereignty. And that would be the sovereignty of a nation or a group of people, maybe practicing a certain religion or engaging in a certain activity that they feel is worthwhile. Those that feed the poor, those that heal the sick, those that educate, and do it from the goodness of their heart without a paycheck. So I put myself in a lot of those categories, and at the same time, I stay focused on my music, but not in the general sense. Someone thinks, well, when you're playing music, you're always giving concerts or you're playing in nightclubs. Well, I always had this burning desire, even as a young boy, to work in the studio. And I started playing the trumpet, and I learned all the brass instruments, and I started learning the reed instruments, and then I learned the keyboards and percussion and stringed instruments. I played quite a few instruments, and well, so well, I don't mean to sound egotistical, but so well that the professional musicians ask me, what's your main instrument? And I can sing, and I'm not too bad of a singer. I have my favorite singers, but I learned the mechanics of singing. I learned the mechanics and the methods for teaching singing and to bring the voice out of others. Sometimes I've taken students that other teachers wouldn't touch because they were, quote, tone deaf, unquote. And by merely teaching those students how to sing, the correct methods, the correct mechanics, I was able to get them to sing properly, and they could hear their pitch and tune their pitch. So they really weren't tone deaf. It was that the other teacher really didn't understand the root cause of that student's problem. Now, we have that same issue in looking at the world, and we see what we, in our minds, I'm going to use the word believe. Believe is the reality. In fact, if you stop and think a second, what you see in your life is a reality to you, and it may not be to anyone else but you. And yet, when you turn on the television and they have a TV show on a particular network and they call it a reality show, nothing is further from the truth. If you take that show seriously, just because they call it a reality show does not make it real. In fact, it's more of an illusion than your life. Or it's the same type of illusion. The difference is that they're controlling your being through images and sounds and concepts and ideas, special effects, stories that capture your attention. And they use really crazy people to act out these parts. And it gives you the feeling, well, I'm, you know, this is really nuts, but I'm sane. So therefore, because I'm sane, you know, this is a harmless TV show. But then the next week or the next night when that show is aired again, there you are, plastered in front of the television with your potato chips and your beer. And you wonder why. When something really tragic happens, something like 9/11, why so many people are just apathetic, or so many people are so filled with fear and so overcome by that fear that they feel that they couldn't change anything if they wanted to. Well, you have to be aware of that. You have to understand that if you are filled with fear, that you are lost in an illusion. Now, it seems very real because you get butterflies in your stomach, or you have an upset stomach, or you sweat, or you feel nervous, or you tremble, you shake, or you run away, or you just bury your head in the sand. And that fear, even though it may seem momentary, because 9/11 happened in 2001, that was over 6 years ago, it's worn off on a lot of people. But that event, which was, in my opinion, and the opinion of millions of people around the world, if not billions, is that that event was merely to catapult us into a war that, again, was predicated on lies and information that was told to us because it was going to be accepted as our reality. We have to fear these people. Look at what they did. they knocked down three buildings. They actually knocked down a building that wasn't even struck by an airplane. Isn't that something? When you think about it, the World Trade Center building number 7 fell down and was not struck by an airplane, and yet no one questioned it. Well, the Patriot Movement questions it. And now they're passing laws that if you talk about this or if you speak against it, in other words, if you speak the truth, that you yourself are a domestic terrorist. Now, we have to stop about a minute and think about what this is. The people who are our servants are actually making laws to control how we think. It's not enough that they have us doing this when we watch television or see a movie or read a newspaper or a magazine or many books or go online and look at various disinformation websites that are there just to put the opposing view so that people really don't know the truth. And then I'll hear things from people like, well, if it was true, they would show it to us on TV. And while all this was going on, and while the war in Iraq is going on, and there are millions of people being displaced by this war, and well over a million people killed, and hundreds of thousands of our troops being maimed and coming home and dying from exposure to the various vaccines and the depleted uranium. And we say, well, if this was really true, we'd hear about it on the news. But the TV just talked about Paris Hilton and Britney Spears and Anna Nicole Smith. And then recently O.J. Simpson got in some trouble and they began talking about O.J., and we don't stop to think, you know, this is the mind control. This is the brainwashing. Well, how do we get away from that? Shut the TV off. Pull the plug. Pull the plug. In fact, they can't see into your house when you do that. It's got its advantages. Now, but I can't miss my soap operas. You know, Betty's going to marry Barney, and, you know, it's, and I know Barney's been messing around with Wilma, and, Fred's probably going to want to kill all three of them. I have to see what happens. And you can go away from that soap opera and come back 3 or 4 years, maybe 10 years later, and the same story will be going on in another manner. It will have morphed into the same thing, just different characters, or possibly even the same people, because they keep you locked in the matrix. They keep you locked in a paradigm that way. So, seeing that, realizing that, I decided I was going to be somewhat of a leader and speak about it. Now, it's a difficult thing to do because people that like watching TV and going to the movies and going gaga over the special effects, and I don't mean to knock special effects people because they're very good at what they do. They're very skilled with computers. Many are very good artists, and they deserve credit for the work that they do. But what Hollywood is putting out, and Hollywood is used as another form of mind control, even to the extent that they will actually forewarn us of the next false flag event. They'll make a movie like The Lone Gunman, which was a movie about an airplane hitting the World Trade Center. Now, one, their argument would be, well, you know, Osama bin Laden must have seen the movie. And I'm sure in the caves in Afghanistan or wherever he was hiding at that time, that he had a copy of the movie. It's using your mind and seeing what's going on. And what's the purpose of this? Why do I talk about this? Well, there were a lot of people trapped in that. I would prefer to just talk about the spiritual side. I would love to talk about God and Jesus and spirituality and what it means to know God. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear that. They say, well, you know, I get my dose of religion on Sunday morning. Or if you happen to be of the Jewish faith, then your Sabbath is on the Saturday. Well, the point I'm making here is I'm not going to get into religious arguments per se and talk about which religion is right and which one is wrong. But we are not being taught the truth about the religions that we follow. And our religious leaders are not being honest with us when they don't tell us that they've been approached by the government and the government has encouraged them to stand behind certain principles that they're trying to push through legislation, getting ready to take more of our rights away. God gave us free will, and he created us in his image as sovereign individuals. Now, that doesn't mean that we can run rampant and go about murdering people, but the very people making the laws are the murderers. Think about it. Think of the dichotomy that's there. So it is something to talk about. It is something to examine. Forever and ever, for eternity? No, because times are changing, and very soon we will be in another paradigm. We will have a different reality where we will know God, and we will know ourselves, and we will know the truth. However, to escape it or to extricate ourselves from it, you know, it's like being in shackles and handcuffs and maybe in a stockade, or having your head underneath the blade of a guillotine. You're waiting for somebody else to remove you from that. And the idea I'm coming up with here is that you have to do it yourself. Nobody's going to do it for you. You're going to have to do it yourself. So we will, on this show, talk about the government. We'll talk about politics. We will talk about history, because history, as it has been taught to us, is a fairy tale. And if you doubt what I'm saying, you can get yourself a copy of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. It's online. It's on several websites. Daryl Bradford Smith, a copy of it. It's a very good translation. The and financial public Christopher Story has written a book called The New Underworld Order, and he dissects all the secret societies throughout history, giving up-to-date information. And you would be amazed how it leads up to what's going on today. In fact, some of the same players are still involved in our history. So they've taught us what they want us to know, and the protocols of the Elders of Zion actually describe what they are going to do to our political system, to our economic system, to our educational system, our religious system, to our food, our water, everything. Now, I'm very interested in health. I'm a healer. I'm also a psychic. I have been for most of my life, although it was suppressed because society didn't talk about that. As I got older, I heard about Edgar Cayce, and I read about Edgar Cayce, and I began having my own experiences because I was always searching for the truth. I'm very gifted in metaphysics, in many of the metaphysical disciplines, and I call them disciplines because this is not magic. These are gifts from God, and you're given them according to some pretty stringent rules. You have to abide by certain laws of the universe, and you can't misuse this these gifts. And what the powers that be are doing is they're using the opposite end of the spectrum in the control mechanism. The dark energy is worshiping the opposite of God. Or, in a grander sense, the opposite of the universe. It's as though they're trying to create an anti-universe, that whoever happens to be the ruler of that realm is going to be the new God. And I can tell you, the old God, or the original God, isn't going to allow that to happen. But through our experience, we are a testament to the fact that we were created, and we were given free will to make choices, to make decisions, to draw conclusions, and to have experiences. And that one day we will merge with God. We will be totally consciously become a part of God. And when that day comes, you have to have your affairs in order, and you have to have all of your karmic garbage put out on the street or flushed down the toilet, however you want to say it. You've got to pay up, and in a grander sense, as you grow spiritually, hopefully you are going to also bring others along. Now, I also feel that we have an obligation to the youth of the world. We have an obligation to undo a lot of the damage that was created through this system of, and again, I go back to the protocols of the Elders of Zion. Now, who are these people? Well, you could go back into history, and some people will say, well, those are the Jews. Well, I don't want to get into that discussion because it's not necessarily an ethnic group, at least how it's been portrayed in history. It's not the same group. The Zionists really were known as Khazars, and they were quite good at masquerading as to who they were. And they were eventually able to present themselves. And in a future show, we will talk about this in great detail. But throughout history, they managed to weasel their way into the affairs of other countries. And they were really like wandering gypsies. They did not have a land of their own. And they made friends on the sly, we'll say, and convinced those that they came across that they were somehow related. Now, the Zionists, what do they do? Well, they create war because it makes money. It makes money when you build tanks and airplanes and sell bullets and sell oil and rubber tires and clothes and all the things that they use, ammunition. And then what were the old purposes of war? To rob and plunder and rape and pillage. And it's still going on today, only it's done a little bit differently. They take jets and they park some ships along the shore and they fire some cruise missiles. They strafe the ground and destroy all the buildings, chase all the government people out, get the bankers out, move in some covert ops groups to go in and steal the gold, steal the money out of the bank. And then after they do that, they kill the very people that they had go in and steal the money so that they are not left around to talk about it. Now, do they just do that in countries like Iraq or in Afghanistan? No. And well, speaking of Afghanistan, our reason for being there is twofold. Actually, it's threefold, but I'm going to mention the twofold tonight. And the pipeline coming out of Uzbekistan going through Afghanistan, it's an oil pipeline, is one reason. They wanted to pull that off. And the other reason was the poppy fields. The drug trade had slowed down to a trickle. And since we've been in Afghanistan, the drug trade has increased some 500%. Probably even higher than that, worldwide. And we're talking about opium, heroin. So that's the reason we're there. Now, there's another reason, but we're not going to talk about that tonight. So when we look at why these wars are created, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to mention Osama bin Laden. We were in Afghanistan to find him, weren't we? But somehow he escaped into the mountains. They said, well, maybe Pakistan. Well, why didn't we go into Pakistan looking for him? Or Uzbekistan? And while he's hiding in the hills, in the caves, in the mountains, he had a great studio. He had cameras and lights and all kinds of recording equipment. And he could make these fantastic speeches and within a couple of hours have them on the internet all over the world. And everyone's believing this. Now, there were reports that bin Laden died in 2001. And they can't have the boogeyman die. So they perpetuated this whole thing. In fact, there have been, I've seen three or four different looking Osama bin Ladens. He seems to be getting younger. a couple of months ago, they released a video where his hair had turned totally black. But in other ones, it's gray or white. And his nose had changed shape completely. His eyes were set differently in his head. Everything about the man was different. The color of his skin, his weight, everything was different. And yet, these media pundits would tell us, Osama bin Laden's out with another videotape. What was interesting is every time there was a videotape that came out with Osama bin Laden, there was another one with a gentleman by the name of al-Zawahiri. And that was his second in command. And usually, after two tapes would come out, there would be some major event, some false flag event. And I began studying this using my intuition. I studied it, and I found a pattern. And I could actually go back and look at things like the Bali bombing or the Madrid train bombing or the subway bus bombing in England, and I could tell you what date it was going to be, just using the system that they were using or studying the system and figuring out what it meant. And it's a shame I didn't think of that or actually do that prior to 9/11, but they weren't showing Osama bin Laden videos before 9/11. Had I known that, or had I intuited something, I would have been one more small voice. But it wasn't enough that our military and our intelligence agents and our FBI were making notices about it to within their departments. It was intended to happen. They were going to do it because they had to scare the heck out of us. They had to create so much fear that we would just say, okay, save us, protect us from the boogeyman. Now, another interesting thing is Osama bin Laden just didn't come out and be this bad guy. He was created by the CIA. I've written about that. Now, I seem maybe to be digressing, but I'm just pointing out how our current events, our world problems today, are all created through all these different illusions. They seem like real events. Now, I'm not saying that 9/11 wasn't a real event. How it was created and what we were told about it was the part that wasn't real. Those buildings did fall down, and some 3,000 people lost their lives in New York. And I'm not certain about Shanksville, Pennsylvania, I have to tell you that. Somewhere, those people that were on the flight that was supposed to go to San Francisco died. But they didn't die crashing into a field in Pennsylvania, is what I'm trying to say. There were people that supposedly died crashing into the Pentagon, but they didn't find the bodies. They didn't even find the airplane. Come on, folks. This is reality now. If anything was reality, that event was. However, what they told us and how it was presented to us, there was a lot of trickery used. There was a lot used with the media. Now, it's been known for years, and we will discuss this on other shows, it's been known for years that the media is infiltrated with intelligence agencies. Back in the early days of Walter Cronkite, CBS was infiltrated by the CIA, and not long after, ABC. And NBC is owned by one of the largest military contractors, GEC, that does a lot of the lighting and the Defense Department work, building underground bases where they do all kinds of covert black ops research, where they build flying saucers and where they build all kinds of incredible weapons and where they're carrying on biogenetic experimentation on children, women, adults, and even senior citizens. And using all kinds of viruses and mutating the viruses and just anything you can imagine. Remember, we're talking about people that are lining up on a side opposite God and the universe. They are opposite the light. There is no light in these people. the only light they are going to have in the end of their reality is the fire that they burn in when they are in the abyss. Now, we will talk about things like this on these shows, and I have some very, very good guests, very knowledgeable guests that will come and share their knowledge. I hope to have Lindsay Williams, who will tell you that there has never been a peak oil crisis. It's all been manufactured, and that we've been paying through the teeth for 30, almost 40 years, we've been paying way too much for oil, for gasoline, and all the petroleum products that are made. They made petroleum the biggest industry in the world because they're making clothes with it, they're making carpeting with it, they're making toys, they're making all kinds of food containers. The word plastic, anything with plastic in it comes from oil. They've put it into everything. They've come up with countless ways of selling oil to us. And really, these are the byproducts of oil, the oil manufacturing process, and all the different methods that they use in refining it. So, we will have someone like G. Edward Griffin. He wrote a book, very successful book, called The Creature from Jekyll Island. I had him on a show in the past, and we talked about how the Federal Reserve was created. Now, speaking of the Federal Reserve, I've written an article that's a very controversial article. It was on the Idaho Observer. I'm actually a writer for the Observer. And I wrote about how the Federal Reserve was actually put together before G. Edward Griffin's book. In other words, I traced the history and the movements of the bankers into the country. And these were German bankers posing as Americans. Now, people should be outraged that the Federal Reserve and the central banks in New York were set up with people who are illegal aliens, or were illegal aliens. And then I did research on the families, on the lineage, genealogical research. And then I went into Nikola Tesla's inventions, which tied in because the New York bankers were actually giving his inventions to the Nazis and to the Russians. And our government was getting quite a few of them, too, in the United States. Now, we never even heard about Nikola Tesla when we were growing up in school. I didn't, and you'd have to ask yourself if you had. I don't think so. And he's really someone the world, on a grand scale, is just getting to know, and probably because of the Internet. He was the most prolific inventor of all time on the face of the earth. And they took most of his inventions and turned them into some kind of weapon or something to be used against the people. We could have free energy now with those inventions in place. And the problem there, though, is you cannot meter Tesla's inventions. You can't put a meter on it and charge people for what they do. The interesting thing is this man was inventing things in the late 1800s and all the way up to 1943 when he died. I wrote about Tesla's murder, and I wrote about Otto Skorzeny, and who was Hitler's bodyguard. He was an assassin, and he was quite a daredevil, and he was sort of a folklore type of soldier. He rescued Mussolini using gliders, and then putting him in an airplane and getting him out of his incarceration. Now, we don't hear the truth about those guys because they extended the CIA. They brought the SS and expanded, is what I mean to say. They expanded and started the CIA, which used to be the old OSI. and the Office of Special Investigations became the CIA. And we were told that they brought about 50,000 scientists over here in what they called Project Paperclip. But in reality, Skorzeny claimed that there were probably about 200,000 people that they brought over from the intelligence agencies, from what was known as the Dachau DVD or the Abwehr, the underground SS. They had the leader of the SS living in Oklahoma City. You wonder why there was a bombing at the Murrah building? There were records there about that and about Agent Orange. And I can tell you, my gut tells me Timothy McVeigh did not bomb that building. In fact, there were unexploded bombs hanging from the openings of the building that could be seen on CNN until they finally got them to train the cameras in a different direction. But most of us don't pay attention to those details. We don't see those things, and so we keep chasing the boogeyman, or we celebrate when somebody supposedly goes to the gas chamber or the electric chair. Now, speaking of Timothy McVeigh, there are people that said they saw him breathing after he was pronounced dead. So that whole execution could have been nothing more than a charade, just to let him go, give him a different identity, and hide him in their witness protection program, because he played the game. The head of the Abwehr was teaching law at Oklahoma Baptist University. And I had exposed this in this article. And then I went a little bit further and I identified the family and the roots of the Bush family. And if you would like to read that, you could go to the Idaho Observer or go to idaho-observer.com. Also, I have the article published on my own website. You can go to Direct Light Productions, with an S on the end, .com. And you can go into my articles page and see that posted there. And it's also in the archives. It's an 18,000-word essay, you could call it. It was a year and a half of very heavy research. Lots of research, and probably 20 hours a day. And I became convinced that I had solved the big mystery of who the Bushes were. And I went deeper on both sides of the family, and I began to see that all of these people, like the bankers years before them, lied about who they were. Now, why is this important? Well, these are the people that are creating our laws, and if they're not even legally here, why are we giving them the authority? Why are we submitting to them? Why are we giving up our sovereignty so easily? I'm not saying we should fight, but we should certainly know what the game is about. If we're going to change, if we're going to come to a realization as to what our true nature is and our reality, we have to understand what it is we're extricating ourselves from in order to move on. I got to speak with Elizabeth Peter tonight on her show, and I resonated with what she talked about. She talked about the belief system and knowledge, and she referred to the belief as, thinking, which is true. Belief to me is the assumption that something is so based on the information that you have, okay? And you can believe there's a God, because if you've read the Bible, you can become pretty convinced that it's real. Or you can have an actual experience and come to see God, or come to know God, as I have and many others have. And through that experience, I don't have to believe there's a God. I know there's a God. And so I've extricated myself from that belief system. Now, if it works in terms of the Almighty, the ultimate of eternity, how can I question anything else as not being part of the belief system? Or how can I assume that, you know, if I know there's a God, then that's everything. And so I have to now begin to look for the everything in everything else. I have to look to what there is to know about other things. I sought that in music. That led me to understanding what it is in music that heals. That led me to learning languages and communicating with people in different parts of the world in ways that I would not had I not taken that experience. So I went from belief to knowledge, even in my life's experiences. I performed with many famous entertainers, many famous musicians, famous singers. Most of them were much better than me at music. But I was able to learn. I was willing to learn. I was willing to expand my knowledge. And it wasn't that I believed I was going to get better. I knew I was going to get better. And so I exposed myself to those people. It was the same when I learned martial arts. It was the same when I learned yoga. It was the same when I took up distance running, and I was a very good distance runner. And I used to do the workouts that the world record holder, Jim Ryan, used to do. I never amounted to his accomplishments, but I came real close. And against tremendous odds, because I'm not the lanky person that he was. I didn't have that gliding, easy stride. I had to really work to be a good distance runner. But I knew if I worked hard enough at it, I would accomplish something, and I did. And it was very fulfilling for me. So we set up challenges for ourselves, and we grow. We learn by listening to those that have knowledge to share, and we grow. And what happens is we free ourselves from this paradigm, because you can't harbor both. You know, Jesus said that we could only, you know, we couldn't love two masters. We will love one and hate the other. And by that, it's the same in the difference between what is right and wrong, or good and evil, or good and bad, or healthy and unhealthy. We have these divine dichotomies that serve us to be able to make a choice. When we make the correct choice, we get positive results. When we make what we call the wrong choice, all we do is get undesirable results. Problems really aren't mistakes or sins per se. They're just undesirable results. So the knowledge and the freedom from the belief paradigm, or as Elizabeth Peters stated, the thinking paradigm. You know, if I say, are you going to come to my birthday party? It's my birthday today. Are you going to come? Well, I think so. Or I'll try, maybe. That fluffiness and that emptiness in conviction is certainly not convincing me that you're going to come. The person I know is going to say, what time? What time do you want me there? Yeah, I'll be there. They respond totally differently, but we use words and we use language, and we sometimes don't even realize how we're using language in trying to justify how we truly feel. And that's a form of dishonesty. You know, I could say, well, I'm sorry, Bill or Fred, but I'm not able to do that. And it's not that I really have anything important to do, but I don't have money to put the gas in my car, or I kind of just wanted to kick back and not do anything. I wanted to relax and rest and maybe read or something. We somehow feel like we have to hide the truth. Yet we proclaim that we're trying to find the truth, yet we have to hide it. We can't, you know, you don't want to hurt their feelings, or you don't want to tell them, you know, I'm not much at birthday parties, or I'm not much about around other people, or I just don't feel like it. It somehow we have to justify it in a way that we feel that no matter what, we've gotten rid of that problem. Only cowering in fear that what am I going to say the next time I'm asked. And it's kind of like that when you're looking at the problems that are going on in the world. There are people that they don't even want to go to your birthday party. How are you going to get them to help you take back your country? How are you going to get the corruption out of government, out of the financial system? Which leads us to my next story or discourse, and that's another piece I wrote for the Idaho Observer. At the request of President Reagan in the mid 1980s, there was a Secret Service agent who was also a Treasury agent, CIA, FBI. He did it all, and he was very trusted. His name was Lee Wanta, and they gave him the name Leo Wanta, changing the last letter of his first name from an E to an O. That was his intelligence name, and he had some other names. Frank B. Ingram was one name he had with the FBI, and his initials were FBI. And Rick Reynolds was one that he had also. And what he did is he amassed $27.5 trillion. And since he did that back in 1989, he's paid a price. He's been in jail. They've tried to kill him numerous times. And he did this for our country. This money should be in our treasury, and we should be earning no less than $200 billion a day. Now, if he could put all the money he amassed, and he did this by destabilizing the ruble, which in and of itself is a questionable act because it harmed a lot of people's lives, but at the same time, it put the United States into a position where it could have been the wealthiest country in the world, in the history of the world, and we could be feeding all the people who are starving, and we could be providing shelter and jobs and education and health care and everything you can imagine for the whole world, not just our country. These people are stealing the money today in real time, and we will talk about that in a future show. So I wrote about that in January of 2007 in the Idaho Observer. Again, you could go to Idaho-Observer, scroll down to their January publishing online, and I recommend that you do subscribe to the Idaho Observer. It's a monthly newspaper. They really don't make any money on it. They just meet their costs. It's really not expensive at all, and it's an annual subscription. I've had people from all over the world call me, not just about my articles, but about the issues that I have written about for further information or further insight, because they're making life-changing decisions based on some of the information I gave in those articles. Or you can go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and don't put the www in there. It's not necessary. In fact, you won't get to my site if you do put it there. Now, BBS Radio has been kind enough to offer me a web page on the BBS Radio site, and if you, it's not up yet. It's under construction right now, but if you put the words evidentfootprints.com into a search engine, it should take you right to my site there. And I can be reached through both sites for email. Now, normally, I know we take calls on this show, and we will be doing that tomorrow evening. I'm going to have a guest with me, Michael Anthony, who is a very interesting individual. He worked for IBM. He's an herbalist. He's a very talented music composer and musician, and a very spiritual individual. And he's a good friend, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. And we're going to talk about some products that he has on the market as well. So you don't want to miss tomorrow's show for that. Michael Anthony will be my guest. Toward the end of the week, actually Friday night, for people in the Eastern time zone, it will actually be Saturday morning. We will have Jim Murray, an incredible scientist, inventor, lecturer, teacher, and also a very good friend. If I could ask someone with the knowledge of Nikola Tesla to come on this show and tell us about science and some very unusual or unknown things that have been kept from us. Jim Murray is the man, so you're going to want to check him out as well. I will have a variety of topics on this show. I'm not just interested in things that are going on in the world, but also off the world, things in space. I'm very into ufology. I'm quite aware of the alien issue, despite what the media will say, despite what they say in the movies, and despite what the government will tell you. There's a lot of disinformation going on right now because they don't want us to know what their true intentions are. And not all aliens are good aliens. And I'm not speaking about the ones that sneak over the border. I'm speaking about the ones that are out in space and the ones that are living in the Earth and walking or flying about the surface of the Earth. There are people from other realms. Just look up in the sky. Count the stars. And if this is the only place where there is life, then God has failed. In fact, if we are the only living beings walking around on two legs in the whole universe, then God not only has failed, but he probably wouldn't even try it again. That's how bad things are here right now. In one sense, if you give in to the game plan. However, if you're able to discern, and discernment is key here, it's how you recognize spiritually and it becomes a mental and a physical conviction as well. Recognize that there is more than what we're told. Our history has been rewritten for us. In fact, it's been, I wouldn't even say rewritten, it's just been written. They never actually wrote it down the way it's happened. And again, I refer you to the protocols of the Elders of Zion for proof. And read for yourself what they proclaimed. Knowing that, you should be able to see. You'd be able to turn on your television and then want to turn it right off. Or read a newspaper and say, what are these people talking about? Do they really expect us to believe that this is how the world is? Now, music. Music is also a means through which the Illuminati, the enlightened ones, as they like to call themselves, control people. And they've done this in waves. They did this with the Beatles. Now, the Beatles had some great music, great songs. However, the whole imagery and the entertainment and the mind control there was stupendous. You had girls screaming at the Ed Sullivan Show at the top of their lungs, fainting, being taken to the hospital. They were able to create total pandemonium, and the Beatles lasted a long time. Then all of a sudden, boom, they were gone. Well, the Rolling Stones, you had the Rolling Stones. You had this whole group of British groups that came over here. Little do people know that our educational system is monitored and controlled by Tavistock Institute in London. And that happened to be the location of one of the bus bombings on 7/7 in 2005. It was as if they had to see that bus blow up in front of their building as it was some kind of trophy or something. They had this insatiable appetite to witness death and destruction and just to see that their plan had been carried out. By the way, I will be publishing something soon. I've got some interesting photos that a military photographer took flying around Manhattan on 9/11, taking pictures of the smoke and the clouds, and you should see the demonic activity that's going on there. So if you have any doubts about how intense this was, what a dark event it was, you can see that this photographer actually was given the task of going around taking pictures of all this. this death and destruction. Now, we won't camp out on these topics all the time. I can't do it, and I surely know that you would not want me to, and so we will bring solutions. We will talk about positive messages in every aspect of whatever we discuss on the show. We will give you some alternatives. Those of you who are hearing this kind of stuff for the first time because you've just been listening to talk about spirit and about health, it is an issue. It is an issue because there may come a time if we don't do anything about this, there'll come a time where you're going to lose your freedom to talk about the things that you love talking about or studying. So in that respect, I want to, again, encourage you to expand your knowledge, take in what you can, do some research, read some books, listen, and you can also be of great help. Those of you who are awakened spiritually, you can awaken those that are just coming along into the process. They're just becoming conscious. You know, for someone who is unconscious, it's like being in a deep sleep. And you're sharing all this information, and they're saying, well, I was asleep during all this? I mean, how did I miss this? How come I don't know this? We're explaining it to you, and I'm not doing this alone. My guests will be doing it, and I know the callers will be doing it too. So that said, I want to, I know we're getting short on time here now. We did start late, and we apologize for that. We had some miscommunications and some technical issues. But I will go out here tonight playing a little bit of my music. And this is a song that I wrote after a near-death experience. And I actually got to know 100% that there is a God. And I called this In My Heart. And I like to leave this with you to show you that I can take all that negativity that I threw out there, and I can put love on it and just make it evaporate. And listen to this. And come back and see me tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for listening to Evident Footprints. I'm Don Niglock.